I appreciate the privilege to be here today. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. They've messed up my work schedule and didn't know if I was going to be able to come, but the Lord blessed where I could. I wasn't expecting to be called on to preach, in all honesty, when I got here today. I figured there'd be plenty of people, and, you know, the new guy, you know, normally they're just like, well, we'll let him ask the blessing on the food, but... So I'm a little nervous, and there should be some nervousness and fear when a man stands behind the pulpit to preach the gospel. And if I didn't feel nervous and fearful today, then something would be very wrong. But I'd ask that you would continue to pray for me. I do have a thought on my mind. Continue to pray that the Lord would bless me to be able to preach that thought.
Amen.
In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 24... starting about verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What matter and what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And I'm going to stop reading there. As we see in this passage, there's several key things that I want to look at, and then I'll get out of the way. But first, I want to see there's disciples that either didn't believe what Jesus said, or they didn't hear him when he first spoke it to them continually through his ministry. Notice what he said here when he said, What things has happened? Now, they considered him to be a stranger because their eyes were withholding from them, so they couldn't see that it was Christ. And they said, Are you a stranger here? Well, if ever there was a stranger in the world, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not of this world like we are. We are of this world. Now, we are natural human beings. We came through this world through natural course. He did not. So we see that he's different from us in very many different ways, but that's a whole other sermon that I'll say for somebody else. But it says here, it says, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before the Lord and all the people. Now, amen, that is the truth. He was a great prophet. He did prophesy the whole time he was here. And he was mighty in deed and word before the Lord. But they stopped short of telling exactly who he was.
Amen.
And they said, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They told the truth there. But notice what they said after this. But we trusted, past tense, they trusted at one point, and now we're no longer trusting in what he had said. It says, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They still had enough sense to count to three. Many times the Lord told them that he would spend 3 days and 3 nights in the grave, just as Jonas was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That was the only sign given to the Jews. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and he said no sign would be given except for that sign of the prophet Jonas. He told them to tear the temple down, and in 3 days he would build it again. And they said this temple was, I forgot now how many years, I think 40 and 6 years in building. And they said, you're going to build this again in 3 days? And they understood not that he was speaking of his own body. So here we see that he's told them many times exactly what was going to happen. They either didn't pay attention, or they didn't hear him, or they didn't want to believe what he said. That's the case. So And they said, and certain women went, and they saw that the tomb was empty. Now, they don't know what to think of this. Now, earlier in one of the other accounts, or it might be this one, they were told by the Roman government, the soldiers were, say that we were asleep, and they came and took his body. Now, the disciples were able to hear all of this going. Now, there's two things I want to talk about on that, and then I'll move on. A, how do you know what happened while you were asleep? And B, how come they weren't put to death? That was the punishment for a Roman soldier being asleep on the job. He was put to death. How were they alive to tell that tale? That makes no sense. It doesn't. A blind man could shoot a hole in the side of that barn. I mean, that's just what the case is. But they said they found him, and then they saw a vision of angels. And they said some of the disciples went and they saw that the tomb was empty as well. And they said, but they didn't see the Lord. And what he says to them here is so profound. And if people in other orders do this, they don't acknowledge the fact that the entire realm, the whole scripture that's given to us, is all about Christ. He told the Jews at one point, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But he says, O fools and slow of heart to do what? Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, these things were to happen to the Lord. It's not fatalism, it's Bible.
That's right. Amen.
I don't believe in absolutism. I don't believe in fatalism. But there was a determined path that Christ walked. There were things that were going to happen to him because God, in his wisdom and omnipotence and omniscience, prophesied through the mouths of the prophets and gave word to his people, if I can keep from being tongue-tied, he gave word to his people of exactly what was going to take place. And every single bit of it came true. And you know what? If one part of it didn't come true, that would make God a liar. And we know that he's not. There's only three things God can't do. He can't lie. He can't deny himself. And can't swear by one greater. Thank you, Brother Roger. Slipped my mind. So we see that Christ was to have suffered these things. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3, and as Adam and Eve and the serpent are there before God in judgment, there in the Garden of Eden, he condemns the man, he condemns the woman, and he tells the serpent that he's going to bruise the seed of the heel of the seed of the woman, but that seed of the woman will bruise his head. Now, I'm not a very smart person. But if someone gets a bruise, it's because something's going to happen to them. Some pain or suffering's going to have to happen. So there in the garden, Adam and Eve hear word, the gospel's preached to them by God himself concerning Jesus Christ, that he would have to suffer great affliction on behalf of his people that was given to him before the foundation of the world. And we can see in many different places, I just want to touch on a few places, and then I'll get out of the way. I want to look at two places in the Psalms. And a couple of other spots. Just bear with me. There are a couple of psalms here that the Lord, through the mouth of David, as he penned these down for us, gave prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 22, it begins with the very words that Christ groaned on the cross as he was hanging there. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, that didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, and it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of unicorns. And I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And I'll go ahead and stop there. There's quite a bit more in there. But here we see, he begins telling. He says, I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And he begins to go through this great description that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. And this is written, pinned down some thousand years before it ever happened. Now that just shows God's wisdom at that point, that he told us in his loving kindness to let us know exactly what the Lord went through. He pinned it down before it ever happened and let us know what was going to happen. But the dogs compassed, he said the dogs compassed him, and the assembly of the wicked enclosed him. They pierced his hands and his feet. Now they drove nails through his hands and his feet when they nailed him to the cross. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. And that word tell means to count. Like when you go to the bank, you talk to the teller, they are literally counting money and giving it back to you if you're cashing a check. But the Lord was beaten so badly and so beyond recognition that his visage was marred, is what it, the prophet said. He said that you couldn't even recognize him. His countenance was just scarred beyond comprehension and recognition. All the things that he suffered, and this is just the physical aspect. This is not the sin of his people even being laid upon him. But the physical things that he endured were prophesied beforehand. Amen. It's prophesied that he would be thirsty. And if you'll notice, I believe it's in the Gospel of John, when it says, talking about that everything should be accomplished that had been prophesied, he said, I thirst. If we look over in, I believe it's the 69th Psalm, it talks about how that he was going to be thirsty and that they would give him vinegar to drink.
That's right.
And then, of course, we know one of the most well-read passages about the Lord being crucified is Isaiah chapter 53. And I won't get into that one because I'm sure most people have read that one. That's a very common topic to preach on, a very common passage. But we see all of the things that are written within there all point to the physical things that the Lord endured for us. Now, if that's not enough to move a man that's got the Spirit of God down in him, I don't really know what is. But when we continue on to think about the sin debt being laid upon him, I know my sins. I know exactly what kind of man that I am. And I am a worthless degenerate. And why God would ever love me, I have no idea. And I'm sure every one of you feel the same way about yourselves. Now, I don't know your sins, and everybody out here looks good to me. Now, I look at myself, and I see a rotten, corrupt, bankrupt sinner. But when I think about the Lord having to take my sin upon him, not out of obligation, but out of love.
Amen.
Now, I always hear people talk about, well, I go to church out of obligation. I've heard people from other orders say that. I don't. I go to church out of love. Because I love the Lord, but I love him because he first loved me. We know that, and we sing about that all the time. In fact, we sang about it earlier, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. But my sin and your sin being put upon him becoming sin for us. He that knew no sin was made to be sin, is what it says. That's what Paul teaches us. That concept in and of itself, if we really stop and put everything else out of our mind and think on that, we should be broken. We really should. Think about your spouse. Think about your children. Think about a dear loved one enduring some great affliction for your benefit. Does your heart not melt? Does it burn? Does your conscience sear in your mind thinking about it because of something you've done someone else had to suffer? Now, the Lord went through so much more of that pain that you're feeling right now, just thinking about that, than comprehension can possibly tell. Because A human being can hurt someone else, and someone else can suffer for it, but it doesn't compare even remotely. It's not even a drop in the bucket compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ
Amen.
Suffered on our behalf.
Right.
Now, His elect people, His family, His fold, He loves. He loves us tremendously. And those two disciples walking to Emmaus, they were downtrodden because they felt defeated. Now, they had trusted, but later on in that passage, we read that they constrained Him to go to their house with them as they finally reached Emmaus. And it looked as though He would have gone further. And they said, "No, just come stay with us." And when He broke bread and blessed it, their eyes were opened. And they realized that the whole time that this man they were trying to explain what was going on to knew more than they could ever imagine. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He walked with us and talked by the way?" Now, I like to hear good preaching. And I'm far from a good preacher, unless the Lord blesses. And then in that case, God gets the glory, not me. But to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach His own glorious gospel to those men, they didn't know who He was. That had to be the best sermon, and it wasn't measured in minutes, it was measured in miles. They were about 12 miles away from Jerusalem heading towards Emmaus, about 12 miles, and He preached the whole way. Now, that's a good sermon, the Lord doing it, and you know man's opinion's not involved. You know it's true. You know it's true doctrine. You know it's true everything. Now, they got something there that we don't necessarily get. Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoy hearing y'all preach. But unadulterated truth coming from the Lord Himself, what glorious divine revelation being given to those men. But their hearts burned within them. That hope was rekindled. Their faith was renewed. And you know what? They could see the next day with hope. And their hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in themselves. It's not in some vain attempt to do anything of themselves or anyone else doing anything for them. But wholly resting in Christ, that's hope. And that's something we've got. Knowing that it's the Lord and nothing else and no one else. They were mentioning before about the other orders. You know, it's not grace and this or grace but this. It's not, well, the Lord did His part, now you have to do yours, as Brother Daniel alluded to in his sermon earlier. But it's wholly the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first words recorded of the Lord when He's a little boy is, "I must be about my Father's business."
Yeah.
John chapter 6, I believe it is, He tells what His Father's will is, what that business He was to be about, that of all the Father gives Him, that He should lose none, but raise it up again at the last day. And the very last words, as He hung there on the cross, before He bowed His head and gave up the ghost, is, "It is finished." We can rest in a finished work. And that's our hope. And those men there felt downtrodden because they thought it was defeat. That's why they had trusted. When they said, "We had trusted, it was He which should redeem Israel." Oh, He redeemed Israel in exactly what He did. When He bowed His head and gave up the ghost, 3 days later He rose again and the Spirit justified Him, declaring that He truly was the Son of God, that He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and that our sins are remembered no more because they've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And that's the only thing that can wash away the sins of His elect people. And they're never remembered anymore. Every time I think about what a horrible, bankrupt sinner I am, you know what helps me get through the day? I can go to the Lord and He doesn't remember a bit of it. Lord, I'm unworthy to stand and preach the gospel. Lord, I'm unworthy to be called a son. Lord, I'm unworthy to enter in and try to even accuse myself of being a disciple. I can't even do that. Because I know what I am. But He knows what I am even more than I know what I am. And you know what? When He sees me, He sees a blood-washed child of God. And He loves me. Now, these men felt that wash over them like nothing we could ever imagine, seeing the Lord there and all of a sudden recognizing who it was after He had preached His gospel to them. But He ought to have suffered those things. They didn't understand why, because they were slow of heart to believe what the prophets had said. Now, Zechariah said that I believe it's chapter 13. He was talking about how they asked him, how did he get the wounds in his hands? He got them in the house of his friends. You know why? He is here in this world. And it also says right after that, awake, O sword, against my fellow. And it says that when the shepherd has been smitten, that the sheep scatter. These two brethren on the road to Emmaus, they scattered. They were scattered. And you know what? The shepherd went out seeking his sheep. He called. And you know what? When he was speaking with them, by the way, they had to know there was something different about that man. They were so intrigued, they continued walking with him, listening to him preach and to teach them from the Old Testament prophets what was concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he broke bread and their eyes were opened, what glory. I hope something I've said this morning has been a blessing, or this afternoon has been a blessing benefit to you.
Amen. Amen.